Accession number 17923, reel 4.
Ava Grilich, reel 4.
You know, people are always interested in these questions with women. What happened when you menstruated? You know, how did you cope with that?
That was a big luck, because the mass of women had not menstruation. Lose for one or more years the menstruation. It was a stress. From this stress, from they was afraid or shocks, or from this difficult life. We marched sometimes day and night, days and days, and it was very difficult, so big marshes. I learned to sleep going. In marsh, we are going and I slept. And that also, I sam lupila onoga ispred mene, kak se veli.
I would hit the person in front or fall on him.
And when we stayed, pausa, in the same moment I fall down and sleeping. And everyone said, don't do this, you will catch a reuma. It's very bad, but it was not important for me, the reuma. So it was a very difficult life, very naporan.
Strainful.
What did you wear?
What were? The partisans has not not in the natura. No one was
snabdevanje, kako se? They didn't have uniforms or
has not any help was. Only what they zarobili su they captured. Or a town, and then they find the uniforms or and the arms tree. Or a unit, enemy unit, and the domobrans. In Croatian army was many kind of, some kind of soldiers. The Ustashas was the wolves. They was the killer. But they was the normal army domobrans. And they was much better. They won't fight. So if the partisan come, said, Domobran, predate, said, they said, we put and they give us the army and the uniforms. Some of them was going 4 or 5 times at home. The partisan take the uniform and the arms and sell them home, go home. So they go home without anything and then come back and then was mobilized and then have again all this and bring. So one said, we are your intendatura.
We are your supply line.
The partisans initially didn't have any supplies of uniforms or of arms or anything.
Till 1943.
And so they went by what they captured. What they got hold of enemy, if they came to a town or conquered a town, they would take the magazines over. But the best supply for them was the Domobran units. Domobrans were sort of called army in Croatia, which were
the Croatian peasants.
They were mostly Croatian farmers, peasants, who rural people, who were not really fighters, and they really didn't like the war. And so they would, as a rule, if they would be caught by the partisans, they would instantly give themselves up without resisting. And the partisans would take off their clothes and arms, and they'd send them home, and they would be mobilized again, and they'd get the uniform again. And so the Domobrans used to say, we are your supply line. They would give partisans all the things they needed, which they had.
And then in 43, I think in 43 began come the help from English, American...
Allies.
Aliens.
Aliens. Not the aliens.
Yes. Were you, you were on your radio, weren't you? Were you still doing your job?
Only the first time.
Yes. What were you doing as the war went on? What other work were you doing, Ava?
I was agitation and propaganda. I made programs. I made dramas, and the people played these dramas. We bigger place or village. Then we made performances. I organized these performances.
What were they about, these performances?
There was always some men who sang nice, good tenors or baritones. There was musicians. And I made sometimes a sketch, this little drama, and learned young people to play. I was a regisseur. I have all in the book this. I think it was a very nice story about this, how they. Yeah.
Well, it's what too long was the? Why did you do that? What was the aim of it? What were you trying?
And
to
that
do?
Was my duty. Yes. Everyone has his duty.
Were you trying to get more partisans that way?
I think that it was very important that we had a cultural life. It was not wild partisans who only killed and robbed. We mobilized with this the people, that we are normal people, we like music and culture, and that so people like us when we come in a village or a town. They come to hear us, to see us. We spoke with them and gave them literature. We wrote bulletins, newspapers. So that was a very civilized army. And very moral, you know. No one should take nothing from a village or from a... some man was killed because he taken something for a woman. That was very, very rigorous.
Strong,
very strict. Such an army without any background should be... cannot exist if they rob and all that. Everyone will kill you, will tell the Ustasha, take them, no? But so the people protected the partisans against the Ustasha who robbed, that killed, you know? It was a bigger difference. They taken partisans like a human army, friend with people, who will save the people from the occupation. That was the... It's a little idealistic, but in basis, that was the meaning of all. No?
In 1943, you say the situation changed when you had help from the Allies.
Not too much, but a little bit.
Yes. Well, what help did you get? What came in?
I was, when first planes, I don't know, I think it was English planes, in Slavonia, it was announced that they will come, and so they make a bigger bigger
pista,
where they come down. Or at first time they only with parachute, thrown food, chocolate, milk, and I don't know, conserves. And some arms, and the Russian, the first Russian help was for nothing. There was no little boots. No one could take them. And mitrailleuse without ammunition. So it was, but the most help we had when from Drvar we ran out. And then in Drvar was a congress, youth congress. And on this congress come some American and English journalists. And between them was son of Randolph Churchill, the young Randolph Churchill. And when the German come in town, they catched Randolph with this journalist. And then the partisan liberated them. And... then that was a big march, days and days in these wild woods from Bosnia. And then the Allied planes, all the time,
they were trying
food, chocolate, and I don't know. And we said, it's good that Church's son is with us, so we have so a lot of all things.
Did you yourself see Randolph Churchill?
Yes, he was in the Durbar. We organized, I was in his organization, organized in 1944, in spring 1944 was his youth congress, anti-fascist youth congress. And they come, that was but in the middle of the war, in the middle of occupied zone, in Drvar was liberated, and there was this congress they made. And they come Italian delegates, and they come the Russian mission. Russian was there, the mission from Russian, and there was like delegate from all the country come, you came youth to speak, to be there. And then come some American and English journalist. Between them was Randolph, too. So we spoke with the journalists. We gave them this material for the Congress. We wrote day and night to make these newspapers and material for the Congress. It was a big job. We only worked all the time.
And that was in the area called Drvar?
Drvar. That's very famous, this descent on Drvar, the 25 May on Tito's birthday. That was, for him, should be a surprise.
Did you ever meet any of the other Allied leaders, people like Fitzroy MacLean?
Yes.
Did you meet Fitzroy
MacLean? I don't remember just Fitzroy MacLean. I know about him, but I met some these alive officers, spoke sometimes with Russian, with English, American. Once I met the English people, I was on this, you know. It was end of war in 1944. This Youth Central Committee is gone on after Drvar. Tito and the general staff was on Vis, Island Vis.
Island how?
Vis. The name from this island was Vis. V-I-S. That's a big, nice island.
This was at the end of the war, was it?
Yeah. For me, it was in the war because I come there in 44, July 44.
And what was happening there on that, on Vis?
On Vis, that was, they said that Vis is a second Malta of Gibraltar. And then it was like a aerodrome for the Allied planes who come back from these big bombardments. And when there was something wrong with them, defect, they was instructed to, with all forces, to come till Vis, that they can
land
on Vis. So if they cannot land, he jumped from the plane and let the plane fall in the sea, you know. Many of them, then they fall in sea and they was catched from the water. So it was a safe station for the allies, you know.
And what were you doing there, Eva?
We wrote newspapers. We made newspapers, used newspapers. And once I catched malaria. I think from Slavonia, but I don't know how much is the incubation. And then I was in hospital. It was a little hospital in the middle of the island. And I was in a room with some women. And under our window was an English unit. And I spoke maybe some words, very not too much English. I speak now very bad, but then I speak it really very little, some words only. But they made Hemendex, the smell from Hemendex every morning. And then we spoke, I come on the window and they asked me something and if I good, I told him. And then one said, can I help him to translate some for photo? His photo apparat has some instructions in our languages. But I said, I try, but I don't know. And he came in the room. And then I translated very badly, but maybe I helped him. Then he go away, and the chief of the hospital called me that it is forbidden to speak with Englishmen. How can I speak to come in room and speak with them? Really, it was forbidden to speak with English army. But because I belonged to this high organization, Central Committee, so she was shut up. It was not so dangerous, you know.
All this time, had you heard about your baby, what was happening, and if she was safe?
Petrogora, when was this? After Drvar, after Drvar, we come in Petrogora, where was the redaction and the Tiskara.
Printing
from Partizan really newspaper was Napred and Vesnik. And that was the redaction and the worker in the typographs. So and I come there after the Drvar. And then our high officer is going to Zagreb to speak about the change, exchange people. But he spoke only with the Germans, not with Ustashas. And then we give him letters for our families. And so the families, I don't know on which way, he had pictures from our children and families. So he come back reduction and printed was in a wood near Topusko. In the wood were barracks and these machines, and we had locomobile for electricity. And we worked there day and night. It was a very big job. And then he bought a lot of pictures, and then put the pictures on a big table, and we look at where is our child. And so I find Vesna's two big pictures. And everyone takes his pictures, and then stayed a lot of pictures who no one, because people are going in the world at 41, 42, and the children grown up, and we don't always recognize our children. So a young girl was sitting all the day and sorted the pictures to find out to whom believe what picture. So we find two little pictures from Vesna, because I was not sure that is my child.
Did you miss her very much?
Yeah, very much. That was my biggest problem in the war, to see my child.
Were you alone, or were there other women like you who had left children?
It was a lot from women in many kind of tragedies, you know. Everyone who comes has his own tragedy. That's not so easy to tell. Perhaps this woman from Serb villages who was all the village destroyed, killed, she ran away. That was all terrible stories, you know. So we had in journals always these stories.
Did you talk to each other about your problems?
I talk, I write about, wrote about this. It was such a job that I make the news. I spoke with someone and organized. Then I wrote it on the machine myself. And this matriz, I should...
Stencils, wax stencils.
I also go 80 kilometers to where they can be printed, you know. Alone, in the unknown environments, and there was bunkers with Germans and all possible. So it was many times that I go far away to this where the newspaper can be printed, no? That was my job, to write, to organize, and to bring to printing.
Did you know, was it a terrible thing to be captured? Did you know that it was a, you know...
It was the worst, and when I was in this battle with Chetniks, I had a good revolver, and I mean, if they find me, I will shoot in him and then in me. I won't alive go in capturing. That was my devise, because maybe I am still alive, because on the beginning, when all these horrible things began, I said, I will not be a sheep taken in a camp or a lager and let me go. I will battle. If I can... If I can fight, go, well, if I die in fight, that's good, but not so like a sheep be killed. That was my first idea. That's enough. Cannot speak more.
You know, you've mentioned the Chetniks. What's the name Mikhailovich? Was that very important? What did that mean to you, Mikhailovich, and his reputation?
Mikhailovich was in this time our enemy. But he has his people at most in Serbia. So in Serbia, Mikhailovich and the Germans worked together. In this village, when I had this battle with Chetniks, I come in a village where Chetniks was in the village, but I come in a house, a peasant house. And I saw munitions for me, German names, and German conserves. So there was a lot. Aliens with Germans.
Allied.
And the Chetniks and Ustasha make the battle together against partisans. Partisans were the enemies. So in Croatia there was some Chetniks, not too much. But on many places we had battle with them too. They had bunkers on the river. We go, but not... The Ustashas, only once we had battle with Ustashas, but I remember. And sometimes with but Chetniks was not so big units, that was some of them. So there was not such a big, the Germans was the biggest enemy, the strongest. No?
And I know your time is short, you know, but I wondered if after the war, you know, when obviously Tito came to power, backed by the Allies, were things better for Jewish people in Croatia?
That's true that that was not difference between... Tito's best thing, what he has done, was that it was any discrimination against anybody. His best parole was fraternity and unity. So all the people are the same, has the same rights... Or you are Serb or Croat or a Macedon or Albanian. Everyone has some little autonomy, bigger or less. But it was a national and religious, it was not important which religion or kind of man you are. You know, we had units for Hungarian, a unit Hungarian, Czechs, Italian, German. We had a German unit in Slavonia. From German army comes. In Slavonia was a Hungarian battalion, Sandor Petefi, then was a Czech, Jan Huska, then German Wilhelm Tell, then Italian. So that was the best thing what Tito made, this unity and this... bit of discrimination. Maybe now in Croatia they speak about terror, that the religion was... But everyone can have his religion, but it was not a religious state, no? But we never destroyed churches. I write in my book, in Vocin, it was a little place, little town. And there was a big battle between the Ustashas was on a mountain, and they said that's other Ushpani, как says, Alcazar. That the 8 days was the battle for this mountain. And then we taken the town, and then we saw the church, the German and the Ustashas make from the church a stall for horses.
Stable,
they had horses in the church, you know. And so we come, and there was all dirty. And the partisan said, was clean the church, and we had a boy who was a pope.
A priest.
And they was sent home to take his uniform, and then he baptized the children. Because some years were the children not baptized, and then he baptized the children in this, the Pravoslav, the Orthodox and the Catholics. It was no difference, I think. So the peasants gave him apples and these pashkire, как se veli. The handmade rope that was all.
How important do you think these events of the war were for what happened in Yugoslavia in the 1990s? Because surely... In the 1990s. Because surely genocide has come again, hasn't it? Do you think the war was important in sort of reawakening memories and feelings of vengeance?
No, I think that's all a big... at first, there was the big mistakes what this regime made. At first was this, in 1941, come the Informbüro resolution from these nine communist parties and the socialistic lands, countries, and Italian and the French Communist Party. And Tito and his Communist Party was thrown out from this Informbüro. And then was many 10,000 people was in a concentration lager in this island, Naked Island, and Gergur. And I was there 2 years.
Why were you there?
I don't know. My husband was a chief redactor from a newspaper. And when the resolution came, everyone should tell what he means about if he give right to Tito or to Stalin. It was in this resolution 10 accusation what in Yugoslavia is wrong and why was this big cutting. And one of these was that in Yugoslavia Communist Party is not enough democracy. And my husband was again all this what Stalin says, but only he said maybe really is not enough democracy. And it was enough that he was sent on Goliotok, Naked Island.
And you were interned with him?
No. When he came, he was 6 months, 3 months in prison, and then 3 months on Goliotok, and then was he on a work, he made a, it was a big, gradila se cesta, Zagreb-Belgrade road was built, and he worked on this building, So 9 months he was, and then he come back, and is gone on military. They made so that he must go sick for some months. And when he come back, then was I imprisoned. And they said that was because that not the children stay alone. So when he come back, I was...
For 2 years?
Yeah.
What was that like, being in prison?
Horrible. It was the worst what I in my life...
I have experienced.
I wrote about this. Someone says that is the best part. Someone no, but I wrote all. It is so horrible. I cannot know.
Yes. What date would that have been, though? What date were you in prison?
In December. In December of December 50 till January 53. And that's another story, totally other story.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Eva, for telling me so much about your experience with the resistance. Thank you very much indeed. I know your time is so short.
No, and, it's not. My time is short because I'm old.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We're very grateful.